This week, as we did last week, we are going to do something a little different. In our Protestant tradition, the habit is to have the sermon be the centerpiece of the service. A text from Scripture is scrutinized, it's studied, and there's some exposition or exploration of it. We often spend time with Bible texts on our own, and when we read them in public, we just hear fragments. So what we did last week and what we're doing this week is reading an entire book of the Bible. That's right, you're going to be able to tell your family and friends that in just 2 weeks, you've heard two whole books of the Bible. Last week we read Jonah, and today we are going to read Paul's letter to Philemon. It's very short, it's about 335 words, and it is the only piece of personal correspondence that we see in the New Testament. There are a couple of things we should know about this text before we hear it, though. First, while this was a letter addressed to an individual, as you listen to the words, and I encourage you to listen as I read the text, you'll sense that there's something more going on here. And it seems pretty clear that Paul's intent was for this letter to Philemon to be shared with an entire church. He had a message he wanted to share. Now, the church at the time that Paul was at work in the mid-50s in the first century would not have been anything like this. No pews, no meeting house. People were meeting in homes. They would often gather for a meal. They'd be sitting on couches, gathered around food. There would be people from different walks of life present at that service. There would be wealthy people and poor people, educated people and those who could not read. But they were all drawn to the message about Jesus. Now, as we know from our exploration of the New Testament, looking at, say, the letter to the Corinthians, we know that even these early churches were often confronted with challenges and problems, and sometimes they had to make tough decisions. And in this letter, the tough decision that has to be made involves someone called Onesimus. And Onesimus was a slave owned by Philemon. Now, slavery was common in the Roman Empire, and it was different from what we know of slavery here in our American story. It didn't involve race. Anybody could wind up being a slave, a prisoner of war, someone who fell into debt, someone who was born to a slave. And there were slaves everywhere. So people were familiar with the institution. It was part of what made the empire run. So bear these things in mind as you hear these words of Paul, written from jail, probably in Ephesus, to a house church in Colossae, as Philemon is addressed in the company of his peers, his brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints in your faith towards the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So there. Who here would want to be Philemon that day? Presented with this choice. Onesimus, his slave, has run away and found his way to Paul. And with Paul, he has found Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes back to his friend and his fellow Christian and presents him with a choice. He doesn't tell him what to do. Did you notice that? He leaves the choice with Philemon. And it is a big choice. For if Philemon frees Onesimus, he's not only relinquishing a valuable asset. He's not only potentially putting himself at odds with others in the community who own slaves. Imagine what the other slave owners would think if one of their number freed somebody just because he felt like it. Some of you may have heard about the business owner in Silicon Valley who decided he was going to pay all of his employees $70,000 a year. He decided that was a living wage. It all sounded great. Other business owners in the valley were not particularly happy about it because they didn't know what they were supposed to do. So Philemon would be putting his friends, his peers, his colleagues on the spot. But even more, and here is where the word speaks to us today and challenges us, and I will leave us to think about this, is Paul's statement in Galatians 3. You'll remember these words. In Jesus Christ, there is no Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor free nor slave. Paul is asking Philemon to see Onesimus as his equal, to ignore any differences that might exist based on their circumstances in life, to take him as a brother. That's a challenge that comes down to us in this day and this place. And sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. Now, we don't know what Philemon chose to do. But we can hazard a guess. And we suspect that Philemon granted Paul's request. Otherwise, why would this letter have been included in the canon? Why would this challenge have been left hanging out there? People have said, particularly in modern times, critically, that Paul should have been more outspoken in his opposition to slavery. Paul expected the world to come to an end at any moment. He thought the distinctions that men and women had established would soon mean nothing. So he focused on the individuals he knew. But in the decades after Paul, people sensed maybe God's schedule is a little different than ours. And so they included this letter in the text. Indeed, one of the early church fathers, a man named Ignatius, made reference in a letter to the church in Ephesus around the end of the first century. To the person of Onesimus, a man of love beyond recounting, and your bishop. We don't know if it's the same Onesimus, but it could be. And wouldn't it be remarkable to think that this runaway slave became a leader of Christ's church? Remarkable and wonderful, but based on what we know about how God works, not at all surprising.